Hogstein.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Hogsty. It is me, your host, Alex. I've got Dave and I've got Steve. I wasn't distracted today by Steve doing his funny hand gestures because his camera's not working, which is great. Dave,
no, I think it's actually my camera works. It is you all's, both of your computers aren't operational because my stuff doesn't not work.
Right, right. Your stuff that you try to like keep up and going without updating the software ever.
I don't do updates.
All I know is I absolutely believe that this is definitely user error right here.
Don't do error, okay? Let's get it straight. I don't make error.
Well, we're talking technology here. And technology, right. I think you make plenty of errors.
I'm incapable
Steve,
of it.
Steve is, look, we all have our areas of expertise. Steve is a legal expert. Dave, you work in the mechanical world, and I work in the AV world. I'm going to say the two guys who work in, like, engineering-ish fields more likely to know what technology is doing.
I know more than everybody. and so I don't do – see, Alex alluded to this. He knows. I don't do computer – I hate the updates. I'm too impatient for them. I don't want to wait for them. They come pop up at annoying times. They won't let me turn them off. So I just delay all updates as long as possible. And if like some computer nerd says, you need these, I just say, no, I don't need them. No, I don't. But when I got my computer revived a couple weeks ago, I took it to the Best Buy Nerd Squad or whatever, those people. Yeah. And they did all the updates for me. So hopefully this thing will stay sans update for a while.
Well, we'll see if your camera works next week.
Yeah, the camera worked earlier, like a couple of days ago when we did business. So,
And it worked last week, and you'd already done the Best Buy thing.
I have a feeling it's probably a Wi-Fi problem more than anything.
It might be a Wi-Fi problem.
It's technological. It's the techie people that always cause the problems. Like, Alex is the responsible for this somehow, probably.
Yes, sure. That's. I'm only 1,000 miles away. I'm sure I'm at fault.
I always fault the techie people. It's always their fault.
I wonder if you have that little switch over top the monitor over to cover the camera.
Maybe
you got to move it back and over.
No, because we're not seeing a black screen, Dave. We're seeing his initials. Right. So
true.
And as somebody who literally does hundreds of webcasts, you know, every year.
I had to call my IT people at work. I mean, it's just like these like silly things happen. It's like the Adobe Acrobat doesn't work, and I don't have time to deal with it. And so get over here and fix it.
That's their like main product. It is such a garbage product. It really is.
I don't have any choice in this. It's, you know, my employer puts on what they want to put on, you know.
I get it.
I just have to distract the IT people from flirting with women and get over here and fix my computer.
Yes. The other thing, Steve works in the one office with IT people who actually can talk to women.
What I was thinking about doing is maybe I'll just like flash my chest at him or something and see if that works and gets him into my office.
Just start walking around shirtless.
Yeah, that might happen. Something would happen.
Yeah, that might just get the IT guys in there for you.
It might. Yeah, you never know. Of course, then I'd be on the street, you know, unemployed.
Maybe IT guy. Different guy, but he's still good at his job. Doesn't matter.
He's good when I can get him in there. He's good.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So before we get into
but real quick. So on the IT guy, there is a down the hall from me. There's a very attractive young lady, mm-hmm. and I went to her for some work thing, and she was like her door's closed, and I'm knocking on the door, and she's really really rude, and I was like, what is the problem here, honey? And she says, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were the IT guy. She's like trying to shoo him away, you know, because he comes in there so much. That's what I'm facing.
That's wild and creepy. I'm having to work in a cubicle for the first time in over a decade because we're ripping out my like control room that I normally sit in. The reason I do AV, by the way, is because I don't have an office. I sit in a room that's like the Starship Enterprise. You know, like screens everywhere and touch screens. And so like that's the whole appeal of working in AV is, you know, I sit in a captain's chair like that.
That's all it's good for. It's
all it's good for. I can rock that Kirk look
Right.
No, you need to be Spock and put the little fake ears on yourself with the pointy ears.
Well, and I could also use them for Renfair when I'm an elf. It's perfect.
Perfect. Yeah. See, I'm cheap, so I'm all about saving money.
But anyway, we're ripping out our auditorium. I spent all weekend like pulling cables out of the floor and ceiling. But now they have me in a cubicle. It's very unsettling being in a cubicle. I don't see how people do this.
Attorneys don't do cubicles. So we can't.
No, I know.
So
paralegals do for you.
Yes, guys. Paralegals do.
Yeah. Yes. Attorneys can't because you got to have those confidential meetings. I know.
So we look down at the cubicle set. You know. Yes.
Well,
the only
first
the
weren't even
the only interactions cubicle. Or cubicles I've ever had was going to the finance office on base. That's yeah. about it.
So you're a work. You do actual work. So I just sit around and argue with people on the phone all day. You actually do work. Work.
Yes, that's why I got carpal tunnel like I do. It's a wonderful thing.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And I do a mix of work and fake work.
So yeah, I'm doing fake work.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't bleed at least once at a job, it's not really a job in my mind.
I get paper cuts sometimes. Sometimes I pick up a really long loan agreement and it cuts my
paper man.
By accident. That's happened before.
I'm sure paper. You know, paper cuts do hurt. You know what hurts worse is when you get like plywood splinters in your hand because like a piece of plywood breaks off as you're picking up like a giant, you know, crate. That
you want
that
me to
really
pick
hurt.
Up plywood? Are you
yeah.
kidding me? I'm yeah. sorry. Are you talking to Steve? You know that, right?
I know.
I hurt myself one time just recently. I was trying to pull a staple out of this document and it like poked me in the finger. That hurt. You know, that helped or didn't help, you know.
Yeah,
that was distraught. I thought about filing a workers' comp claim for that.
I pick
up
plywood.
Probably that was the worst that ever happened to me with my hands.
Mm-hmm.
In my career.
Yeah, Dave, do you still have all your digits? We've never really asked.
Oh, I still have them. Just one of them is a little bit crooked on the thing on the end right there. But hey,
that's something.
See, I can't
it's
have
still
that.
There.
I've got to be able to play guitar. I can't have this stuff happen to my hands.
Hey, if Jerry Garcia could play a banjo missing a finger.
Jerry Garcia could barely play a banjo, okay?
Yeah, because he was missing a finger.
and because he was on every drug. He was on all
yes.
the drugs.
All the drugs, yes.
At one time.
I don't know if I've ever told this on air, but did I ever tell you that when the Grateful Dead would tour and they stopped in Albany, for some reason they always parked their bus in my grandfather's store's parking lot? Never asked him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they never asked, but he would. They would. Because he had a big enough parking lot, close enough to, I guess, wherever their whatever venue was.
They just rolled up and put a bus in his parking lot and didn't say anything to anybody? Yeah,
this is probably the 60s, you know, like, the rules were different.
Yeah.
They could still pay him $50 or something, at least, for the night, Christ's sake.
He couldn't stand it because he said it just reeked a pot all the time. And it was a nonstop train of, like, hot women going into the bus.
Your grandfather's just mad that the hot women weren't coming into his store. That's what he was mad about.
I mean, he would have liked some business. You know, he's all about business.
Was your grandfather married?
Yes, of course. Nope. At that point, he was married.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But
maybe he just needed some video. You know, take some film. What's going on?
It would have been film
bus.
Back then.
Yeah, it would have been film.
Yeah. But, he used to always tell me he hated the Dead, not because of their music, although he didn't like their music, but just because of that.
I can't get by the Dead's music. Is I don't know. Something about it's just not me.
You're not a jam band guy.
No,
you like your metal and you like your rock, but you're not I don't think of you as a jam band guy.
I'm not a jam band person at all.
Yeah. No Fish. No Dead.
No. Yeah. None of that.
No Dave Matthews for Steve.
I have seen Dave Matthews in concert.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't know. It's not my, yeah, they're kind of the modern day Grateful Dead, I think, to a certain extent.
They definitely are. But yeah. It's more just because of the heavy drug use.
I don't know how much drugs Dave Matthews is in. I don't know. But
I don't think he's ever not high.
Well, that may be.
All right. Let's we should talk about the team.
Oh, yeah.
And not
that's
just
football.
Random nonsense. But random nonsense is fun. All right. So. There aren't a whole ton of big moves and news for the Washington football team here this week, but they did make a bunch of smaller signings, depth guys, back of the roster guys, stuff like that. And, you know, it's worth covering them. That's why we're here. We're fans and we cover the little things, right?
Right.
So they made a total of, I think, 5 signings this week. And I'll just go in, I think, the right order here of when they happened. First was running back Jeremy McNichols. Jeremy McNichols, kind of a journeyman. I think he's been on 6 teams in 6 years. Let me look that up real quick and make sure I got that right. Hasn't played a whole lot. A lot of, you know, practice squad time in his career. San Francisco, Indy, Jacksonville, Tennessee, and San Francisco again. He's 28 years old. In 6 seasons, he's jumped 5 times. He did play a little bit for the Titans in 2020 and 2021 as a backup. Had about 88 attempts for 360 yards overall. So not a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at him, he's averaging 4 yards a carry.
Right.
And he hasn't played much. He played a little bit in Tennessee.
Yeah.
In 2020, 2021.
They kind of had a good running back in front of him.
Yeah, that some Derrick Henry guy. Somebody can tell me who that is. Averaged 4.3 yards per carry that year in 2020, so that's good. The rest of his time has been below average. So, I don't know. He's a guy who's going to compete, and, you know, he'll get an opportunity, but don't hold out hope.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot of high expectations here. He's a guy that you probably keep around in case somebody gets hurt, and, you know, then he might see field as, like, a backup special teams guy.
Yeah, I mean, you could do a practice squad for this. I mean, they'd have to pay him more than a normal practice squatter, but you could do it.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. They do need a running back on the practice squad, so it could be this guy.
Sure, but isn't that practice squad also limited on the number of vets still?
Yes, oh, it is.
Like, you only have 3, I think.
And I don't know. Don't quote me on the number, but yeah, it is limited. So, yeah, they'd have to take that into account.
Right, right. That was a good change when they made it, by the way. I always thought it kind of gypped out some people by not letting them do that. So, you know, it's not the worst move. Who's the running back they did that with last year? Williams? Well,
Jonathan Williams is on the practice squad for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that was a good depth move, keeping him there. So, all right.
And it's not like this draft is loaded with mid to late round talent out there for running backs, unfortunately. After you get past the top 4 or 5, it kind of – you have a lot of projects, a lot of one-dimensional backs out there anyway. So,
yeah,
just kind of adds that depth and just-in-case type of guy.
Yeah, not a whole lot of talent, like you said. You know, there's 1 or 2 guys who might contribute seriously in the league, and the rest are going to be practice squatters, I think, for most of their career.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Wide receiver Olamide Zacharias, who most of his career in Atlanta, kind of a productive guy, though, overall. Slot receiver build, 5'8", 193. And he was up there in Philly last year. Not as productive last year with the Eagles as the prior couple years in the Atlanta organization. But, you know, in 2022, that was his best year with the Falcons. He had 40 receptions, 533 yards, and 3 touchdowns that season.
Mm-hmm.
So could fill in that slot role if you need him, I think. I think that's his kind of future.
You got to think that he's probably if you look at the guys who are the same size as him,
mm-hmm.
you've got Jameson Crowder first.
Right.
Kazmir Allen. And this guy, Olamide Zacharias, I guess is how to pronounce mm-hmm. it. All the rest of Washington's receivers a little bit bigger. It's not so they couldn't play the slot necessarily, but those are the guys. And so you have to think that he needs to shoot to beat out Jameson Crowder. And you also have to think, therefore, then that maybe he needs to try his hand at returning punts and returning kicks.
Yeah, he didn't do that a lot in Atlanta.
I mean, if I were him, I'd try to do it.
Yeah, you know? I'm just saying, stats-wise, he had 6 attempts in his career. So
yeah, I'm not saying, but I just mean, if I were him and trying to make a team at his size and against these people, because Jameson Crowder wasn't that good last year. He was okay. but he didn't ever do anything great. So
he's very much a placeholder.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, like as much as I was a fan of Crowder in his prime, his first run here in DC, you know, he's not that guy anymore. We all know that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Next up, Jeff Driscoll. So I guess we're not drafting a quarterback because now we have Jeff Driscoll on the roster.
Well, he's got Mariota Driscoll.
We're good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So another backup option at quarterback. Not a surprise when Adam Peters the week prior kind of didn't even hint at it. He said, we're going to have four quarterbacks on the roster, for camp. So they only had two. Now they have the fourth.
That's not exactly a newsflash. I mean, most teams have four quarterbacks on the roster.
No.
Right.
It's really just a question of who when he said that. Because I don't think any of us thought that Fromm necessarily was going to be their third stringer, right? Like,
I don't know. I mean, I certainly wouldn't bank on it.
Wouldn't bank on it either. But Driscoll's not a bad option. You know, he's been around the league for a couple of years now.
He's also not a good option.
No. If he comes in, it's just to finish a game or two for you.
Would you like me to give you some numbers?
Please. Go ahead.
I think he's just strictly camp body is all he's going to be anyway.
That's what I think. So career-wise, career completion percentage 58.6. 2.6 interception rating, which is okay. Not terrible, but okay. Quarterback rating 79.4. That's career.
Below average these days.
Yeah, the problem is I'd give you years, but he's played so little that none of this stuff is really statistically relevant. Last year in Cleveland, you know, played in one game, 13 for 26, you know, barely statistically relevant. So it's hard to say, but overall, 58.6% completion percentage, which is bad in the NFL.
Yeah. And I'm sure you're seeing this too, Steve, because I'm sure we're both looking at Pro Football Reference or wherever to get his stat line. His career, in terms of starts, 1-10 wins and losses, which is not ideal.
Oh, yeah, that's bad, isn't it?
Yeah, that's like Dan Snyder bad.
That's worse than Dan Snyder bad.
I know, but it's bad. So he's a guy, if you ever see him in a game, he's just there to finish the game.
Things have gone horribly, horribly wrong if Jeff Driscoll is in a game.
Right, right. You have multiple people in ambulances, and he's just there. That's the Jeff Driscoll plan.
Yeah, he's the emergency to the emergency backup quarterback.
Right.
What I would like to point out now is that Washington has two quarterbacks that are 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who counts the least, Jake Fromm, is 6'2". That is in a stark contrast to the previous regime, which had a bunch of shrimps, if you recall.
Yeah. Right.
And so it would lead you one to believe. And these guys aren't runners particularly. I mean, Mariota a little bit, you know, granted, but he's not. He was known as mobile in college, sprinter in high school and all that. But he's not, and he's been athletic, but he's not a true like running quarterback in the NFL. And so it kind of makes you wonder what kind of offense they're planning on running. Are they planning on running more of a traditional drop back passing kind of offense? Maybe because if you got guys in here, big giant statues, you know, Driscoll and Mariota, not a statue, but still big dude. Nobody's going to mistake him for Lamar Jackson or anything. If you want me to do some analysis on it, that would make what I would wonder is if we're seeing a glimpse in what offense they're about to implement.
I mean, I kind of disagree with you on the running. I think Driscoll, you know, when you go down, look at his rushing stats, he had 80 rush attempts versus his 400-ish career pass attempts. So it's not like he doesn't run. He runs quite a bit, but, you know, that's because he's a third stringer and he's probably running for his life.
Well, yeah.
You know, I'm not saying he's, you know, athletic by any means. It's a very average 80 runs, 417 yards. That's, you know, nothing special. But, I mean, to your point, I think it does give you some idea that maybe Kingsbury realizes what he's been doing with the spread and or not spread, air raid. You know, very minor distinctions, honestly, between the two. But what they did with that, his use of very mobile quarterbacks in the past in Arizona, maybe he realizes that's not the way to go necessarily. Like, you don't want to major in it. I could see that.
Well, I had this guy share me some interesting info from when Cliff Kingsbury was in the league in 2022. He ran the gun 64% of the time, fourth highest rate. He had a 65% pass rate, and he ran 12 personnel on first downs 30% of the time. So in terms of how he ran his offense and how often he uses 12 personnel sets as opposed to being dominantly spread out, and as far as running the gun, nothing's ever changed in his entire coaching career in terms of how he had the quarterback, you know, in terms of either under center, in the gun, or whatever. But the one thing with Cliff Kingsbury is when you look at what he's done in Arizona, what he's done when he was back in college, mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you, I don't think Cliff Kingsbury is going to change as much as we think he might, regardless of what we see on the roster. I think what he's going to learn is just because you have a mobile quarterback, you don't have to run a system that's going to put a quarterback in position to run as often as possible. You know, because right now when you look at Jaden Daniels or Drake May, you could really run either one of them, really. Drake May would hold up more to the pounding than what Jaden Daniels will, but Jaden Daniels gives you more of that elusive, straightforward speed and everything. But I really think that, well, what I'm hoping is Cliff Kingsbury takes what he did in 2022 and will hone that. And to your point, Alex, to realize that maybe what he did in the past, even when he did way back in the college, that yes, he would have learned what he had done and he changes that. I'm pessimistic on that. I don't think he will, because when guys are locked in, but to your point, Alex, I hope he does exactly what you're talking about and learns from his past and alters what he does this year. Because if we drop back and throw 65% of the time, like he did in 2022, right? We're right back to Eric Bieniemy, and his offensive line is not ready for something like that yet.
I mean, you can't just run a quarterback. You know, running quarterbacks in the NFL need to be the exception, not the rule. You know, right. There's only one Lamar Jackson. There was only one Michael Vick. You know, there's only one RG3, you know, runner like that. And, you know, spare me the RG3 haters out there. I mean, that doesn't work in the NFL to a great extent, even now. Right. You mm-hmm. know, yes, the NFL is going to a more passing-based offense, you know, less run-centric offense. Okay, granted, but that is power running in the middle is what they're getting right. away from. If I were designing an offense, to me, a mobile quarterback would be an extra.
Right.
You know, there's a throwaway extra. If you happen to stumble into Lamar Jackson, fine. But give me a quarterback who can read the field, who's smart,
mm-hmm.
You know, and can operate in the pocket, you know, and climb the pocket. That is invaluable. That's what I would look for in a quarterback. And maybe Kingsbury's gotten that. Maybe he hasn't. You know, he had Kyler Murray in Arizona.
Right.
Who was a runner. He was a shrimp, but he's a runner. He, you know, Jaden Daniels is a runner, okay, you know, but I just think it's a mistake to focus. Like, the Ravens are special. You know, you can't model yourself after the Ravens like that and run them all around. I just think it's a mistake.
I tend to agree. I think that you need to balance it way more. And honestly, I think the Ravens did Lamar a disservice by doing that as much as they did early in his career. I think it didn't help him develop nearly enough. And I mean, look, he's won multiple MVPs now, but you know, I do think that was a limitation they put on him, you know, on his development of his passing abilities. I don't, when I look at the guys in this draft, like Daniels and Caleb Williams, they can run. I don't think they necessarily are guys who are going to feel like they have to major in it. You know, because I think they have very good arms.
Yeah, but Caleb Williams is a guy who, and I don't think he's going to come to Washington, first of all, but no, if he does, he's a guy who's going to have to rein himself in. He has all the talent in the world. If he has a weakness, it's that he tends to go off script a lot.
Yes.
And right. he'll try to run around. He'll try to launch balls where he shouldn't, you know, on the move, on the run. That can come back to haunt you in a way in the NFL, in a way it won't when you're facing the Pac-10 or the Pac, yeah. whatever it is now, right. Pac-2. That's Caleb Williams' weakness.
I think there's two, it's and two. Then it's there's the a golf Pac-2. Club. I don't really know what's going
it's,
on.
It's the Pac-2 right now.
It really is. It's terrible.
And see, and that brings me to how I feel with Jayden Daniels, potentially what he could be in this offense, because I think he's a more refined passer than what Lamar Jackson was coming out of college. I think that's pretty clear. He's a guy that can hit at all three levels of field. He doesn't have the same zip on the ball as you see what Lamar Jackson can have, but he's a better, from what I've seen anyway, and Steve, you could speak more to it. You've watched the film and stuff, but it seems that he's a little bit of a better anticipator. He's good at anticipating throws than what Lamar Jackson was. I think he can definitely hit any level of the field. So you can actually develop an offense to where, to your point, Steve, his running would be just extra. His running would be, if everything breaks down, well, let me go get 10, 15 yards. And if I could possibly take it for a big gain, I could take it for a big gain, as long as he can learn to slide and protect his body, of course. You know, I think with him, he has the arm to be a quarterback where his legs can be a real true secondary threat to keep the offense open and moving.
Jayden Daniels can do it. Jayden Daniels has the ability to be an NFL pocket passing quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, I like Jayden Daniels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, Dave, I know you don't normally listen to Steve's other show, but Chris did what we could not do. He tricked Steve into actually giving some quarterback breakdown.
Well, I also say that I said I can't give. I can't do it because my Hogside brethren will be mad at me. And all I said was the same thing I said on this show, which was about Drake May. So don't let Alex lie about this, okay? And you go listen to it yourself, people. Go listen. It's just business. It's on all the streaming platforms or whatever. You know, go listen to yourself. We talked about Shohei Ohtani this week, which, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys talked about that.
I'm being very patient for your show when you come on your thumb. I've been very patient and very good, so I'm still waiting.
I'm going to have to split the analysis up into two parts. I'm already up to 2,300 words.
Honestly, with it being such a big decision, I'm okay if, like, honestly, we also start talking about it multiple shows. I know we try to be good about that aspect.
Maybe we'll do that. Maybe let's think about that. Maybe we'll do that. We'll do some producing off the air when we get off of this.
Okay. All right. What's that? We don't usually do producing anymore.
We don't just do totally off the cuff with these things.
No, we don't. We don't. We plan a lot of this out, folks.
This show to this point has been off the cuff, more or less.
Yeah. Some of it. All right. So getting back to the last couple signings, you know, not as exciting. Okay, and this what we were going to play the pronouncer game on this. For the defensive lineman from Nigeria they signed, international player, I'm going to go first. Hagi Chisholm Ndusi is what I'm going with.
I'm going to go Hagi Chisholm Ndusi.
I'm going to go with Haganudi.
Haganudi?
Yeah.
All right. There we go.
So HCN, how about that? We'll call him HCN.
Or how about Nude Hag? Oh, that's not politically correct. Forget I said that.
What about Hagrid? Hagrid the Horrible, like the old comics.
Possibly. So look, this is, first of all, he's a 6'7" nose tackle.
Right.
Which I don't know how that works. 6'7", 323-pound nose tackle. He must barely be able to walk. That would be my guess. I mean, he can't possibly be mobile. I don't know a thing about him whatsoever. He was with the Cardinals for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
He was with the Broncos off and on, you know, practice squad, international pathway guy. So he's a monster. That's all I know about him.
Yeah. Probably a guy who will just be here for preseason and training camp and then hit the practice squad again. But that international guys, there's that special, a lot of special exceptions you get for them.
Yeah.
So right. It always makes sense to keep one or two around because I think you get that extra body on your roster when you do.
So stay tuned to see if Haganudi is on the roster in any capacity.
All right. Good. I mean, good luck to Chisholm there. Like,
of course.
Yeah.
I'll be rooting for Chiz right there.
Yeah.
Chiz. Now you got a nickname. I like Chiz. For him. Chiz.
And who was the last one we had? Was it Obata?
It was Obata.
F.A. Obata.
No, it was David Bada.
Oh yeah, it was Bada, not Obata.
David Bada, yeah.
Obata.
Yeah, Obata.
And David Bada did not make it. He's now off the roster, by the way, for those wondering.
Well, he was a Ron guy. So he's gonna go follow Ron wherever Ron ends up, I think.
Ron is currently nowhere. So
well, he's at ESPN right now.
Oh, Bada cannot follow him to ESPN.
Well, he could be a gaffer or, you know,
maybe
a runner.
He's
a
brilliant. Maybe he's just brilliant, you know, on the air. Who knows?
Who knows? We don't know.
Very possible.
I mean, he was from England. Possible. Maybe they can use him for like the British show, broadcast or something.
He can just sit and drink tea, you know, hold a cup up with his little finger. That's
tea and warm beer at the same time.
Ew. that sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds like a great combination too, doesn't it? Just fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Mikhail Walker, the last signing. This is a linebacker. He was in with the Steelers last year. Also a former Falcon. When did Dan Quinn leave the Falcons? We got a lot of ex-Falcons who I feel like
Quinn left the Falcons in I think 2020.
Was it 2020?
Yeah, I believe so.
So that would make sense then because this guy was a Falcon in 2020. That was his first year. So it's another guy who I guess Quinn just knows. He's a depth guy completely. He's not, you know, he's not really been a heavy starter at any point in his career.
He's more of a player than the rest of these guys, though. I mean, he started most of the season in 2022 at middle linebacker for the Falcons.
Due to injuries, he did get a lot more.
Yeah, well, I mean, still he played, though. I mean, sure. 16 games. 12 starts rather in 16 games, you know, had 107 combined tackles. So he's played a little bit in the NFL, not to say he's going to be a starter. Washington has their starters. There's no, I mean,
yeah.
We know who the starters are going to be at linebacker. It's
Bobby David Wagner. David Mayo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jamin Davis.
Right.
Frankie Louvu. Those are your starters, I think.
They'll probably draft a middle linebacker or another linebacker.
Maybe.
And we're not doing linebackers this week. I'm doing that next week. I'm writing that up. There, no one you draft this year you should project as a starter. They can contribute, but there's not, like, that level linebacker in this class. So, I think you're right. I think we know who's going to start at least for the season. But, you know, Walker could be a good, you know, just he knows Quinn. He's going to know the system, know what to expect. He's that guy. You know, you just keep him on the back of the roster just in case.
Right.
Yeah. And in terms of the other guys, the only one I see maybe contributing is Zacharias. I think that he's, at least he's produced somewhat in Atlanta as well. But in general, I don't see much else from these guys.
I think the wild card would be Kazmir Allen. If Kazmir Allen could take that next step, I think Zacharias will probably won't even make the roster, to be honest with you. He's the one I'm hoping to really kind of – because I think he has that ability to be a return guy for us.
Mm-hmm.
But that switch just has to come on for him, that's all.
Yeah. Steve, any disagreements?
No, I mean, that's as good a guess as any. I don't think any of us really know. I mean, we're debating guys like this. You know, who knows?
No. Yeah, right.
Somebody will come out of thin air and be better than we think, because that happens every year.
Yep.
I mean, if it's Kazmir Allen, I mean, Kazmir Allen showed some potential at times last year. He looked like an NFL player here mm-hmm. and there. So mm-hmm. it's possible, you know, and I'm not going to pretend to have great knowledge of Zacharias. I don't know. So,
right. I think, you know, we're talking about guys competing for the probably the fourth wide receiver spot at most.
Well, if you look at the wide receivers, you know, so the guys who are locks is McLaurin and Dotson.
Yep.
And I have to think Crowder's I have to think Crowder probably has a decent shot at it, too. And so that's three. Oh, Deami Brown. I'm sorry, not Crowder. Deami Brown has got a pretty decent shot. So that's three. So they keep five. You're looking at Allen, Crowder, Davion Davis, Dax Millen, Mitchell Tinsley, Bryce Tremaine, Zacchaeus, and a couple other free agents, draft picks or something. So you're looking at, like, what is that, five, six, or seven people competing for two back-end slots,
right?
Realistically.
Right.
You're, I mean, yeah, it's, well, it might be three just because we do know that this is a receiver-heavy offense. Even
Yeah, it's even possible if, they keep six. I mean, it's not beyond impossible,
Yeah. And with the new kick return rules, that'll play into it a little as well, where they want to try and have teams have two kick returners out on the field at for every kickoff. So, you know, little things like that will play into it.
Yeah.
Now, since we're talking about receivers real quick, one thing that many of the fans talk about, I'm sure you've seen it, Alex, is Brandon Ayuk isn't even coming close to a new deal with San Francisco. So, of course, there's that whole talk about him being traded. The fan base would love to give up like a second or whatever else to get him here, give him an extension. How do you guys feel about something like that? Me, I think this roster construction, especially paying already $20 million to McLaurin, I think using those assets to get a guy like Brandon Ayuk with this roster not ready to turn the corner just yet, I think it'd be a mistake on my part, but what do you guys think about that?
I generally agree with you. They spend a lot of money on wide receivers already, and they don't have the quarterback, for it yet. I tend to think that's a move that you would make next year if things start to gel this year. This year's kind of a mess.
Yeah.
And Dan Quinn seems to have kind of a magic touch, or Peters, or some combination of them about attracting free agents this year. But he's not a free agent, number one.
No.
And it would be expensive. And, you know, they've already got $35.6 million in cap hit money right now. And that's $33 million in under Rule of 51. That's a lot. And then you add like $15 million for Brandon Ayuk, you know, off the top of my head. That's a lot of money for when they don't have a quarterback. So I tend to agree with you.
I agree. I think, and we just saw it happen today with Stephon Diggs, like when they have that quarterback in there, like the Houston Texans do now, then you make that move.
Yep, I agree.
And, you know, well, also, how you say no to that offer that the Bills
can
gave.
Can we stop right here?
Yeah.
What in the world? I get why the Texans won. Texans definitely desperately need a receiver. What in the world is Buffalo thinking? I don't get why would you trade away Stephon Diggs?
Not just Diggs. Diggs plus a fifth and a sixth round pick in the next 2 years.
That's crazy.
I think it's a fifth this year, sixth next year, and all that for just a second round pick in 2025. And you're eating $31 million in cap space.
And by the way, go ahead.
I think the biggest problem with Diggs out there over the last 2 years, there's actually been some friction between him and Josh Allen and his role in this offense. Even though he's been getting over 130 targets, he'd be getting 100 and some, or like 150 targets, whatever, over 100 receptions. You know, so he's been very much diva-ish out there. And even when I talk to a fellow Bill fan at work, the one thing that they talk about up there is that Josh Allen seems to be under that amount of pressure of make sure you feed him the ball. And it was just becoming too much. Myself, I think that's a bit of a stretch and a bit of an excuse, because you have a guy like Diggs. That's a guy like Diggs. You develop an offense around to get him the ball. But either way, I think the relationship between him and Allen was starting to really kind of come to a point of it was time to break that duo up. And I have a feeling they thought maybe going into this year would have been too much of a distraction, especially with all the other losses. So you know the Bills are going to target for a receiver in the first round most likely, and they're probably going to get themselves in position to probably feature both their tight ends in Knox and Kincaid, and they're probably going to become a little more of a run-oriented offense and really kind of count on their defense, I guess. But I don't know. I just think that relationship was starting to fracture, and they want to cut it off, you know, and they want to cut off at the root now. I don't think they should have gotten rid of him anyway. You should have made it work somehow or another, but whatever.
I mean, here's the thing. Josh Allen actually isn't that good, okay? I hate to break this to people. He has – his gifts are that he's a passable passing quarterback, but he's an elite threat on the ground. Right. He was not a good passer in Wyoming. He has improved in NFL. I'll eat that one. I said he wasn't going to be good because of it. He's gotten better. But he's not – a great passer in terms of like the NFL elite passer types. Stephon Diggs made him look a lot better than he was.
Right.
We talked about that earlier, that, you know, during the season, and you're going to trade that away. So lose a capability. Maybe they are going to go to more tight ends and running, you know, running backs and everything, but you're losing a capability for a second round pick. And what I was about to say, when I didn't mean to interrupt you guys, was that for all you trade Terry McLaurin fans out there, because I've heard some of this, this tells you what his value would be. This tells you, you know, if Stephon Diggs, multiple-time Pro Bowler, elite number one receiver, is worth a second-round pick minus some, you know, what'd you say it was, Alex? Like a fifth and a sixth?
Yeah.
So less than a second-round, a full second-round pick, you're looking at like a third or a fourth for McLaurin. Now, do you really want to trade Terry McLaurin for that? No, of course not.
No, and to add on to all that, I mean, I to me, this trade is the kind of trade you make when a guy's a toxic mess in your locker room and you just need him out. That's
kind of why I think Dave may be right.
Yeah.
And, you know, as talented as Diggs is, you know, like, didn't he do this in Minnesota a bit too? He got a little pouty and they...
He's a little divish, like, yeah.
Yeah, he's got that gene in him, the diva gene.
When you've also got, you know, you had up there at the time, Kirk Cousins, who's, I don't know what, you know, the Charlie Brown of the NFL or something. I don't know what he is. Probably didn't mesh very well.
No.
Right.
No, I think Kirk has issues matching with a lot of people, it seems.
His personality
like.
Is so quirky and kind of nerdy that I don't think it probably doesn't vibe very well with a lot of these diva wide receivers, especially.
Yeah.
I think that's very true. But yeah, I mean, you know, Dave, you pointed out like his lowest season, Diggs had 154 targets. Like it's always above that. That's ridiculous for any
reason. He's an elite number one receiver.
Yeah. He is. Now, the one question I would have is he is the magic number of 30 now. And we all know receivers do sometimes fall off a cliff, like in terms of their ability to, you know, be that elite speed and everything else. Like, you know, is there a risk to it? Could that play into it a little? Just the age. And then you look at what his cap number was, you know, the next couple of years. I think it was, what, $20 million a year?
Well, so I'm looking here. The Texans are not taking a huge risk. So his, I'm reading this for the first time kind of on the fly here.
Sure.
He signed a 4-year, $96 million contract, $21 million signing bonus, $70 million guaranteed. But let's see, when was this signed?
Right. And like I said, Buffalo is eating $31 million of this cap hit.
Yeah, I mean, so the dead cap is going to disappear after the 2024 season. So then at that point, they can get out of it.
Right. So it's a one-year flyer, and then but there's still a
yeah, because okay. So because he had $48 million guaranteed at signing, which was signing bonus 2022, 2023, and then an option bonus.
Right.
And then his 2024 salary guaranteed at the beginning of the league year, which was a couple weeks ago. Then he's got just $3.5 million of his 2025 money will become get on the books the first day of the league year next year. But that's pretty minor, all things considered. And so they could, if it doesn't work out and it blows up, they could get rid of him. So the Texans actually aren't taking a big risk.
Yeah, I'm more thinking just like he's going to age out probably.
Yeah, but my point is, if they don't have a huge investment of dead cap money in it, if he blows it, they just get rid of him.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah.
It's not like Deshaun Watson. They didn't bring him in, or they're stuck with him like Cleveland is.
Right.
Right. Well, they did just sign him or make the trade today. They could offer him a stupid contract.
They don't need to offer him a stupid contract. They got him under contract through 2027.
Yeah. They don't need to, but you know how that teams do that sometimes.
But there's literally nothing to do, because you do that when you trade for him, but the guy's going to be a free agent in a year. That's when you do that. He's already signed.
Yeah.
I could see him making some of his future base salary turn that into guaranteed money or something, but that's about the extent of it, maybe.
But why would they do it?
True. Yeah.
No, true. I don't think it's likely, but we've seen too many NFL teams do weird things. That's my problem. So do we want to talk about corners or talk about Rashee Rice's nonsense?
Well, let's run through the corners real fast.
Okay.
So we haven't published this. Maybe we can do both because Rashee Rice is too good to pass up.
Yeah.
We have not published at the time you're listening to this, the draft corner group, our writer, Nolan from Tampa, did it. I'm just going to run through some names here to give you some idea of what we're talking about here. The number one guy in the classes is Terrion Arnold from Alabama, 6'196". Quinyon Mitchell is generally kind of the next guy up. He's from the University of Toledo, 6'195". Nate Wiggins from Clemson, 6'2", bigger dude. The guy with the all-time stupidest name in human history is next, Kool-Aid McKistry, which I just don't understand that. Also from Alabama. Now we're into like day two, Ennis Rakestraw, day two, Missouri. Cooper DeJean, Iowa. Renardo Green, Florida State. DJ James, Auburn. Kamari Lassiter, Auburn. It goes down from there. I think that's maybe you want to go Max Melton one more. I don't think Washington's going to draft any of these guys, personally.
I wouldn't be shocked. I see a lot of people putting corner in there in the second round with one of those two picks. Let's be honest. They don't have the greatest cornerback room right now.
No, but they have a bunch of high draft picks in there.
I do understand that. Like, that's the kind of the catch to all this, is you have Benjamin St. Juice, who's an okay 2 or 3, and then you got a couple guys you drafted last year who have big question marks by him. That's kind of it. I know they signed some free agents, but those guys aren't.
I mean, the problem is they've got $45 million in the cornerback room. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's a bad investment right now.
Yeah, they are inefficient. They are very inefficient dollars-wise in the cornerback room. And by the way, because it was driving me crazy, Kool-Aid McKinstry's real first name is Jaquincy. So there you go. Kool-Aid is a nickname. That makes me feel slightly better.
It makes me feel slightly worse.
At least their parents weren't stupid enough to name him after a bad kid's drink.
First off, if you're going to go by Kool-Aid, shouldn't you be a lineman? Like, you should be 300 pounds so you can run through walls.
You could be a big, fat, giant, walking red jug of juice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's who gets the nickname Kool-Aid.
Not in this case. But don't you feel better knowing that his parents did not name him Kool-Aid? I feel better.
So you don't think that they'll draft a corner early this year?
Oh, I do not.
Okay.
I just don't think they can spend that kind of money on a roster.
I think they're going to make a push for Greg Newsome from Cleveland, because Cleveland is looking to get rid of Greg Newsome. And I think they're going to use either a combination of maybe a third this year, second next year, or second this year or something to get someone like that in, because he can be that corner you need on the other side, being your number one corner. And at 23 years old, only 4 years in the league, that's a guy right there. I think Dan Quinn could definitely bring on this roster and be the focus for his defense going forward. And if St. Juice doesn't take that step forward this year, he'll be gone and he'll draft someone to go aside Newsome the following year.
I was looking at the wrong column on my giant spreadsheet. The $45 million in the corner group was the combined value of all of the contracts. That's not cap hit. So correct myself here. They've got 19 million in cap hit in the room here. Right. Three guys over 3 million, 3.5 million. And then the rest
that's
of them
way
are kind
more
of
reasonable
in,
though.
Yeah. Right. So sorry about that. That's just my chart's humongous and I was looking at the wrong list. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I still think they've got three guys in there. They kind of have to start just because of their draft status. So I tend to think this year they're not going to, they may draft corner. Don't get me wrong. I'm talking about like at the top, you know, top three rounds. That's what I'm talking
top
about.
Top 100, you know, that, yeah, exactly. That's what we're more or less
right.
discussing. They'll whatever draft they do it, you, past the third round, it doesn't matter really.
Yeah, so they could just take a shot at almost anything after the third round.
If you get lucky and you find a starter, great. You know,
because
no care.
This draft doesn't seem like it's super deep on corner anyway. I think you get past the first couple. I think it takes a pretty drastic downhill slide on that one.
Yeah, there's like probably a dozen, or not a dozen, but 8 to 10 guys who will go in the top 100 is what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. But they're all in that mid-tier, other than maybe one or two who are like real first-round talent.
Okay, more importantly, and this is important, Wikipedia cites Sporting News and says McKinstry was nicknamed Kool-Aid by his grandmother as a baby because his smile reminded her of the Kool-Aid man. And then he signed an NIL deal with Kool-Aid as a freshman at Alabama because of his name, his nickname. That's important.
Hey, you know what? I'll monetize. I don't blame him for that one.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Monetize it. Heck yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sorry, but if grandmom gives you that nickname, it's a Dave. Great name.
Okay.
It's a great name.
If you're all right, we'll give him the grandma waiver.
Yeah, you can't fault grandma, you know.
Nope.
You really can't.
Absolutely.
Don't argue
not.
With grandma.
Whatever she says is gold 100% of the time, even if it's a horrible idea.
Right. Because grandparents say some horrible things sometimes. Let's also be
honest. Yes. Oh, that's true. That is true.
The citation stated that he got the name as a baby, so he could have been a chunky little thing that did look like a fat little Kool-Aid thing at, you know, at the infant stage.
Some reason he had no head. He was just a face on a belly. It was very strange.
This is as much as we are going to ever talk about Kool-Aid McKinstry combined in the history of the show.
Now you just destined us to draft.
probably.
Number 2 overall.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, let's talk about crazy or stupid. Is it crazy or stupid what Rashee Rice did?
Stupid. It's not crazy. It's stupid.
Just absolutely dumb.
Yeah. Yeah, so for those who haven't seen the video, he was street racing on a highway with, I guess, a friend or an acquaintance, don't really know which, caused a massive accident, several people injured, right? And 6 vehicles in the wreck.
So, Rashee Rice apparently was driving Corvette. The other person was driving Lamborghini. They're on a freeway in Dallas.
Yeah.
And cause an accident. Now, it wasn't nearly as bad of an accident as it could have been, considering the stupidity of their driving. Looked like nobody got seriously hurt. Nobody died. Cars didn't flip over. But he caused a 6-car pileup. That's stupid part one. Stupid part two is that these fools, there's video of some of this, apparently allegedly got out of the car, grabbed the weapons, grabbed the bags of God knows what. And then where the video picks up is they are walking down the side of the freeway, leaving the Lamborghini, leaving the Corvette, and just walking away from the accident. And so now you've got reckless driving, probably felony reckless driving. You've got abandoning the scene of an accident and probably some other felony charges I can't think of. But he's got multiple felonies now probably lined up against
him. And then was running from the police for a while.
Yes, there you go. So,
or not running, evading.
Evading arrest.
What would you call that?
Evading arrest, which is another felony. So there you go.
Yeah.
So he's got multiple felonies. And so he's ruined his NFL career. Congratulations. You played yourself.
Yep. You got that ring and now you're going
to. And by the way, so the reason the accident, if you look at the video, the reason the accident happened is that the Corvette, which was Rice, tried to pass on the shoulder of the road, the interior shoulder of the freeway, and hits a car. And the Lamborghini is trying to squeeze through like it's a motorcycle, which I hate them too. But and so they just caused a big pileup. They're just idiots. And Rashee Rice, and then because he's a stupid athlete, didn't man up and stay there and own what he did, he's like, he thinks because he's walking away, he's going to get away with it. And it's probably because they had guns and drugs in the car, if I had to guess.
Yeah, we don't know what was in the bag.
We don't know what was in the bag.
Yes.
But what else could it be?
Right. Gym clothes, bags, or just straight up money. You know how some of these stupid athletes just keep money around like that? Yeah. You never know.
God only knows. But he deserves everything he gets. Hopefully he gets suspended. Hopefully he gets convicted of multiple felonies. That's what I'm rooting for.
Yeah. Stop racing cars, you stupid idiots. That simple. If you're doing that and you are a multimillionaire NFL player, you're a friggin' idiot.
Yes. Go ahead, Dave.
We've seen too many guys ruin their lives. People get killed. You know, we had that incident here in DC with who was the safety?
Killed the girlfriend. Yeah.
Yeah, his girlfriend died because of his own stupidity.
Well, this just comes back to was it Henry Ruggs for the Raiders when he had his girl, I believe it was his ex-girlfriend was killed because of him driving. I believe he was driving drunk too, mm-hmm. over an excess of 156 miles an hour and killed her in that car crash.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have very well taken an innocent life. I mean, God forbid there was a minivan or something like that with kids in there. And
there was
happened.
A kid just... on this. There was a child in one of these cars that thankfully was not seriously hurt, but there was a small child.
But it's just the ramifications of your actions. You should have. I mean, look what happened to Ruggs, for crying out loud. That's still fresh in everyone's mind. You're still going to go out there and do something like this. I'm sorry, but you know, it's to me, the NFL should just see you. You're gone. You're out.
Well,
you're
out of the league. Suspend him. You're gone. Okay. Henry Ruggs.
If they had like a policy of just a standard 1 year ban right off the bat.
So let's talk about Henry Ruggs. Here's what Henry Ruggs had. So Henry Ruggs signed a 4-year, $16.6 million contract, drafted 12th overall in 2020. Mm-hmm. So he gets to through the 2022 season, pled guilty to DUI resulting in death, vehicular manslaughter, sentenced to 3 to 10 years in Nevada State Prison. He's currently incarcerated. 3 to 10 basically means if he's in good behavior, he'll get out at 3, you know, or some period between 3. That's what that means. But he ruined his life. He killed another driver, some random person, and nothing good came of it. He could have set his family up for life.
Yep.
Instead, he's in prison. So
he's making $250 an hour now in prison. I just Googled him, and that's the first thing that comes up.
Nice. There you go. That's fitting.
It is.
Still more than some waiters and waitresses make. But what?
And Ruggs is another guy who tried to, if I recall, did not walk away or something, evade. And, you know,
I don't remember if Ruggs did. I don't remember. But just stop. Like, first off, and Steve, you might know this better than I would. Don't they have racetracks where you can just like take these types of cars out and like open it up?
Yeah.
Just do that.
Well, yeah, they do like right here in New Jersey, right? Because there was someone who knew someone who bought one of those Dodge. There's one of them, a souped up Dodge Charger. I think it was like it's called the I forget the name. It was like something Cat or whatever. And he would take it out there. And he would it's just straight away for well over 100 yards, man. He just, bam, just floor it and go. You know,
I think most racetracks, you can rent time to just go and goof off.
You can. I mean, it's expensive, but, I mean, these guys have nothing but money and time, you know.
Right, right. You know, if that's what it's about, do that. If it's about, oh, he had guns and drugs and they're just doing some stupid thing there, different discussion, and you know, I even less sympathy for wanting to do that when you're already rich.
And I was Ruggs didn't run. I was wrong about that. But he refused to take the field sobriety test. Okay. But they did a blood. They did a test on him 2 hours later, and it was at 0.16, which means he was at somewhere like 0.18 or so at least. You know, at the crash time.
Honestly, probably
if not more. Right, if not more.
But,
and he pleaded guilty to one count of felony DUI, one count of misdemeanor vehicular manslaughter in prison. And the person who he killed was a random person, Tina Tinter, and a dog who were burned to death. So, driving 156 miles an hour.
Just stupid people doing stupid things.
That's Rasheed Rice. Only Rasheed Rice is a coward and tried to walk away. And to my knowledge, unless something happened today, it still has not been arrested.
Oh, no, no. He did turn himself in today.
Did he? Oh, good. Yeah, okay.
He turned himself in. He's admitting he did it. So I think when you're caught on camera and you're like talking on camera saying, "Hey, everybody, I'm Rasheed Rice and I did this," you know, you don't really have much of a case.
As a Dodge Charger Hellcat, as I was thinking.
Oh, Hellcat. Okay.
The Hellcat, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, like, if that's your thing, if you want that muscle car and you want to go find a place that you can safely do that legally, go nuts.
Absolutely.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Heck, if we wanted to build an Autobahn where people could drive that way, okay. I don't have
a problem
with
that. I've driven in the German Autobahn a lot. Dave probably has too. Yeah. And they're actually not dumb in Germany for the most. They're a lot smarter about driving than the Americans are.
Well, it's not special to them either at that point, I'm sure, as part of
there are people who drive very fast, but they do it in a much safer way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, because you have like six lanes all the way across.
Yeah.
The far right lane, that's the only lane they have a max speed limit for those who don't want to go the speed. I think it's like right two lanes, whatever it is. But they actually have a minimum speed in the far left lanes.
Right.
And then outside of that, you can go whatever you want.
And there's no racing. There's no people acting crazy. Yeah. You know, there's none of that.
Well, and you need a speed limit on those two lanes for people to get on and off.
Yeah.
So it makes
sense. And also because some people just don't feel safe driving 140 miles an hour.
Yeah. I don't understand why. Why wouldn't that be an issue? So.
It's different if you grow up with it. You know, we didn't grow up with that here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's true about a lot of things in human culture, is if you grow up with something and you're used to it, you don't think it's a big deal, right?
Right.
I think Dave's frozen, by the way. He might be talking this whole time.
We don't know.
Yeah.
It's possible.
He looks very contemplative in his frozen image.
We're having all kinds of technical problems behind the scenes here right now.
Yeah. Dave, I hope you weren't talking too much.
We were vamping because we didn't know what your status was. Yeah, we're done. Okay.
Yeah.
The show's over. We're out of time.
Yeah, my Wi-Fi dropped out real quick.
Oh, that
we got
happened.
Bad weather rolling through here.
We've had some weather on the East Coast. All right, guys. Yes. We will talk to you all next week. We gotta do some production meetings apparently. So
yes, we do.
Talk to you all later. Bye.
See you.